Chapter 25. The Censorate of Magic. I was screwed. I was on the other side of the fairgrounds from my camp. My people were scattered all over the place. I wasn't wearing a mage blade. I hadn't brought a war wand, only my dagger hung from my belt. Bannermore was likewise unarmed. He was a commoner, not entitled to wear a sword, and they were discouraged on the fairgrounds anyway. He looked at me, his eyes wide in surprise and nascent terror. I'm sure I looked the same way, because there are only two entities that could legally act in the name of the non-existent King of the Five Duchies, and I doubted I was being accosted by a glorified lighthouse keeper. That meant it was the Royal Censorate of Magic who was trying to arrest me. The censors were enforcers of the bans on magic, which I had studiously and decisively overturned last year. Only some of them were clearly ignoring Duke Rad's decree on the subject. According to their own codes, they were not bound by ducal decree. They did not answer to any higher authority than their sworn oath, and there were some powerful censors who were rebelling against the leadership of the repentant censor General Hartarian. To them, my mere existence as a high mage was a violation of regulation. There was a reward on my head, as Sandoval had warned me. Bannermore was an unregistered foot wizard. He had been running from the censorate his entire professional life. Being confronted with them unexpectedly, in a crowd of people in broad daylight, was disconcerting. I controlled my breathing and stopped in my tracks. I sent a mind-to-mind shout to Tyndall, summoning him to come with help. I doubted he'd get there in time, but it couldn't hurt to have him aware of our situation. I turned around, slowly, as did Bannermore. I had nothing in my hand but a new pipe, which had conveniently gone out. Behind us stood three large armored men in boot-length mantles of black and white checks. The one in the middle held a staff and a dagger, the one on the left had an axe, and the one on the right had a mage blade. There was motion around the edges of the crowd that suggested they weren't alone. "Oh, holy shit," whispered Bannermore, his face pale. "Pull it together," I whispered back. "You're a high mage now," I reminded him. "They don't know that."
"I'm scared shitless," he replied. "They probably know that."
"I am Sire Minolan, the Mage Lord of Sevendor," I said in a loud voice. The crowd quickly split the way that crowds do when something violent or entertaining is about to happen. To emphasize the point, I nudged my oversized sphere of Irionite loose from its bag and magically pushed it into the air. It took a little effort, but it was worth it for the dramatic impact alone. When the sphere emerged, it was the censorate's turn to go pale. There was no mistaking what it was, or how big it was. Sometimes size does matter. "I'm not about to drop my weapons." The man in the middle steeled himself, clenched his jaw and brandished his staff. "You are hereby placed under arrest by the order of..." "Saying it is one thing," I said, trying to be both casual and intimidating. "Doing it is another. How do you propose to disarm me if I decide to resist?"
"You cannot resist the authority of the censorate," he replied angrily. "If you resist, we will kill you."
"You will try," I countered, "but so did a whole lot of other people, and they're mostly dead now."
"This is your last opportunity to lay aside that abomination and respond to your lawful summons, as required under your oath of licensure."
"My license has been augmented by my ducal court mage," I pointed out, "under the authority of the Duke." "Dukes," I corrected myself. "If you'd like, I can send back to my camp for my papers. I brought them with me, as required by law."
"This is no longer an administrative matter," he said darkly. "A warrant has been issued for your arrest by the censor of Rhemir. I will execute that order," he emphasized. "Drop your weapons and stand down at once."
"I'm smoking a pipe," I pointed out, stalling for time. "Are you feeling threatened by it?" I inquired, affecting amusement. I was a little pissed off and a whole lot scared, and that tends to bring out the jester in me. Not one of my more endearing qualities. Just to emphasize it, I produced a flame out of thin air and lit it, blowing clouds of smoke before sending one thick-walled smoke ring toward the men. The leader quivered. Then do you intend to resist? He asked.
I haven't quite decided, I said. I'm thinking I should let that be a surprise.
Then you do intend to resist, he said, a trace of doubt in his voice.
I intend to consider resisting, I admitted, but I'm only seeing three of you here. It would make it more sporting if there were more of you.
Three is sufficient for the task, he insisted, his jaw jutting out proudly. But we have ample allies, should we need them to help you consider.
Two more men stepped forward and threw off dusty travelling cloaks to reveal the dreaded checkered mantles underneath. One had a mage blade, the other a brace of war ones and a vicious-looking scar on his face.
Well, five does help simplify the equation, I admitted, my heart falling. These men were serious about taking my head.
Holy shit,
whispered Bannermore, as he realized that a censor had been standing concealed not a dozen paces away from him. He clutched at his witchstone, his knuckles white.
I thought it might, the censor sneered. So have you reached a decision?
Almost there, I nodded, puffing away. Even with five, I still see resisting as pretty good odds.
That would be a grave miscalculation, he replied arrogantly. All five of us are well-blooded veteran war magi.
Who isn't? I bragged. But how many witch stones did you bring?
We don't need such abominations to administer the king's laws, he boasted. There's no need for anyone to be hurt. If you see to your duty and your reason and come quietly, our order has been dealing with the likes of you for 400 years. It helps when you have no qualms about letting innocent bystanders get butchered, I said, suddenly magically augmenting my voice. When the squeals died down, there was a lot more open space on the fairgrounds. That was my goal. If sparks did fly between us, I wanted as few innocents harmed as possible. The censorate's bloody-handed reputation did the rest.
Enough of this debate, he said angrily, as he realized I was stalling. For the final time, Minnelan the Spellmonger, will you concede to arrest or shall we detain you by force?
I let the question hang in the air as I prepared. I might not have had any real weapons, but I had my abundantly powerful witch sphere and a head full of war magic, and they did not appear to be employing any annulment spells, else their own wardings would fail. I cast the first spells silently. Defensive barriers went up around me and Bannermore. Illusory magic made us seem far more threatening and intimidating than we actually were. I prepared to cast several augmentation charms, and I invoked mage sight. Then I blew another smoke ring.
Thoughts, Bannermore? I asked loudly, as the crowd continued to move away from us while the censors edged closer, ready for us to fight.
You are seeking my counsel, mage lord?
He asked, surprised. You seem to have a stake in the outcome, I observed, and you do happen to be at hand.
I'm honored,
he muttered. Since I know what will happen if we don't resist, then resisting is probably our wisest move. He scratched his beard and looked around at all of the checkered cloaks.
Yes, I'm growing more convinced that resistance, as depressing as it sounds, is our most prudent move, unless you'd consider the merits of retreat.
Bannermore, that would hardly suit the dignity or position of a mage lord, I pointed out as I mentally prepared a few spells. As a noble, I have a duty to represent my class with distinction, and as the head of the arcane orders, it would damage my reputation if I chose to retreat. Death or surrender are the only two honourable courses of action.
I'm a commoner, he pointed out. I can just meet you back at camp,
and miss an opportunity to demonstrate your loyalty as a retainer. A chance at glory?
Will you resist?
Shouted the censor, as his men began to move toward us more earnestly.
Menelan,
Bannermore said, looking anxiously. That's when it finally happened. There was a stirring in the crowd behind the censors to the left of us. Suddenly the crowd parted, and Tyndall bounded into view, slasher in one hand and a couple of wands in the other. He tossed the wands to me and ran to stand at my side, still armoured up from his tournament. I snagged the larger one, but the smaller of them tumbled to my feet, where Bannermore scrambled to pick it up. Tyndall slid heroically into position, facing the censors. And he wasn't alone. Behind him filed in a dozen armored men, swords drawn, who took up positions behind the censors.
"Where the hell have you been?"
I asked my apprentice sharply. "They were about to start without you."
"Sorry, master,"
he said, his chest heaving with exertion as he eyed the censors.
"I was in the middle of my bout. I had to win it quickly before I came."
"Well, sorry to rush you," I grumbled. "Now, shall we reconsider this whole potentially nasty situation?" I offered the censors. "Because now I'm prepared to resist."
"Our duty is not negotiable,"
the censor insisted, taking a step forward. The warriors behind him did likewise.
"Where did you come up with the army?"
I asked Tyndall, mind to mind.
"They were the ones in the loser's bracket," he said. "They were armed and I needed them."
"How did you convince them to fight war magi?"
I asked. The prospect that he had charmed them magically somehow occurred to me, but I honestly didn't think Tyndall was that good yet.
"I didn't. They wouldn't. Not war magi. So I paid them an ounce of silver apiece to follow me.
Actually, you did, or will have to, and then stand in formation and look menacing. But they didn't have to fight." That actually wasn't a bad plan. I gripped the war wand in my hand. It was one of Tyndall's, but I taught him how to make them last summer, and I was reasonably sure I knew the command word. I took a step forward, swinging it casually. "It looks like I have help now. I'm afraid I'm going to have to resist, gentlemen," I said.
"Tyndall, the two on the left, keep them busy," I told him, mind to mind.
"Eh,"
he replied, a telepathic grunt of assent. I readied a spell as the censor in the center stepped forward with his own, and then we were fighting. When you can slow your perceptions down to the point where you can select from a number of options at your comparative leisure, while your opponent is chained to merely what their body manages to do at their mind's most reactive direction, taking someone apart becomes a lot easier. But when it's war mage on war mage, the rules change. You can both augment your body and slow your perceptions, which means that a duel between magi gets a lot more sophisticated. I had plenty of power at hand, so I wasn't restricted to only the spells I had prepared. I was far more conscious of killing a score of fairgoers, however, and that tempered my response. But the moment the lead censor launched a bolt of bright blue light in our direction from the head of his staff, things got hectic. I counted on my defensive spells to block the blast, so I could focus on other matters. While I faced the man in the center, I targeted the censor to our extreme right, who was advancing on Bannermore. I gave him a shot with the war wand, hitting him square in the chest. It was a Harlan wand, made of hickory, a style of concussive wave Tyndall favored for sheer power. The Harlan enchantments were designed back in the age of the Magocracy to stop a charging horse, the kind ridden by my barbarian ancestors. The blast knocked the man off his feet and into the crowd behind him. His blade was thrown out of his reach. Unfortunately, a few bystanders on the fringes of the crowd were also hit, though not nearly as hard. I didn't mind that. I was happy with the result. My apprentice isn't particularly sophisticated. That's not always a bad thing. For the two men in front of me, I threw a Calliocution spell I had stored in my arsenal. Calliocution is a very specific wave of sound generated and directed magically into a cone of force, but it's not designed to deafen your foe. I may not have had a mage blade, but when you have the biggest ball in the game, you should use it. The Calliocution was perfect for this situation, because it was non-lethal. I didn't want to be responsible for plowing through a group of onlookers. I raised my hand, summoned the power, let the spell fall into my mind, and spoke the mnemonic. The air rippled, and we heard a loud whine as the wave bunched, then activated. Rather than assault their ears, the concussion that resulted sent one censor sprawling like his brother and dropped the man with the staff to one knee. A nasty side effect? It makes you loose your bowels and bladder. While I attacked the center, Tyndall engaged the man on our far left, sword to sword, and had shot and missed at the fifth man with some spell I didn't pay attention to. He and his opponent were well matched, for all of the censor's height, and while the checkered cloak remained unbloodied, so did Tyndall. He was still dueling, slasher in his right hand, a wand in his left. He was alive, which is all I really wanted to know. I was busy. There were spells coming at us I had to defend against. Bannermore wasn't totally useless in a fight. While he didn't know any war magic, he'd spent plenty of time dodging rough situations, as any foot wizard must. I saw him struggle to his knees, curse, and then pull something out of his pouch. He said a few words over it and threw it at our attackers. Whatever spell he cast entangled the feet of the man Tyndall's spell had missed, so he stumbled face first into the fairgrounds before he'd crossed half the distance to us. There were plenty of spells incoming too, and our defences were only partially successful. I felt a searing heat tear down my left leg and side, realizing someone had employed a paralysis spell, or sensory augmentation spell, or something that made me feel like I was on fire. My defences were prepared against real fire. I hadn't anticipated psychosomatic attacks like that. Live and learn. Right about then, Bannermore took a hit too, a ball of green flame making an arc lazily in the air before it hit our defences and shimmered, mostly, into harmlessness. The parts that weren't harmless slapped Bannermore in the face and neck, though, and he was down moments after his own spell had worked. The first wave of attacks had brought me a half-second of time to contemplate my next move as bodies skidded to a halt in slow motion around me. The sphere still hovered helpfully over my shoulder. The war wand was ready for another blast, and I was still uncomfortably unarmed. Maybe it's a security thing, but unlike some war magi, I hated to fight without a sword in my hand. It's comforting. One of the sensors had helpfully dropped his mage blade. I sent a tendril of force to summon it to my hand. It responded to my call like a friendly dog, and came flying through the air and toward my palm. I turned my attention to carefully shooting at the man with the staff on the right with the Harlan wand. The staff's defenses blunted the force of the attack, unfortunately, but it kept him from firing a spell in return. Tyndall was dueling toe to toe with his foe, who had recovered his footing from Bannermore's spell. Their mage blades flashing in the sun as strike after strike was thrown and blocked. It was tempting to just watch Tyndall use his sword. He moved with grace and fluidity, a natural athleticism I envied. While the sensor was larger, fresher, and had a heavier blade, Tyndall had been fighting all day. With, I realized with sudden dismay, a blunted blade. The sensor did not enjoy the same handicap. That explained the lack of blood. Well, I couldn't very well stop my own fight to magically sharpen his blade or something. Tyndall was on his own. Then I was too busy to pay further attention, because one of the idiots my sound wave had knocked down inconveniently stood up and charged me. He arrived only moments after the scavenged mage blade came to my hand, and then I was fighting for my life too. My opponent was good, far better than I wanted him to be. More, he was armored, and I was not. But the moment the hilt of the summoned sword smacked against my palm and my fingers curled around it, armor didn't matter anymore. I raised the sword and took the brunt of his blow on it, stopping his advance. I could tell that the war mage was surprised. He'd expected an easy kill, no doubt, and did not expect me to be able to arm myself so quickly. His eyes went wide as his blade hit mine, and I took the barest of moments to lock eyes with him. They were filled with righteous fury. He paused the barest moment to challenge me. It was a dramatic move, but not a smart one. His momentum bowled us both over, and we struggled desperately to get control over our blades and regain our footing. I was slightly faster, but not quite fast enough for my purposes. We were back on our feet, blades in hand, circling each other again in moments. That's when things got complicated. Every feint and strike was anticipated, every move counted, so we hammered at each other as fast and as hard as we could. When you can tell by the set of his feet how he was going to strike, and you knew exactly what you would do to block it, it's hard to find an advantage. The mage blade I had rescued was shorter than Twilight by almost 3 inches, but otherwise it was a very serviceable blade. Unlike Twilight, it had few spells on it that I could feel, likely because of the sheer difficulty in enchanting such things without Irionite. It struck me just how much more powerful we were than they were, and that was gratifying. Which is why, 20 lightning-fast strikes later, as I was starting to get bored and frustrated and I wanted to end the duel to move on to the rest of my day, I realized that, indeed, Irionite made us much, much more powerful than the censors. So why was I standing there trading blows with this idiot? Enough. I snapped out of the hypnotic pattern of steel on steel, long enough to whirl halfway around, and put my right boot into my opponent's chest, hard enough to knock him back 3 steps. He would recover in seconds, but seconds were all I needed. I summoned a lot of power from the sphere, shaped it crudely, and cast it as my foe was winding up for his next blow. My spell took hold, and he floated 4 feet into the air. The war mage who was casting a spell also got jerked up into the air, as did the other checkered cloaks. That didn't keep them from being dangerous, but it deprived them of the traction and leverage they would have needed to actually fight us hand to hand. You couldn't fight as well with your feet dangling in the air. Tyndall was just as surprised as everyone else when his foe jerked up out of his range, and at first he thought it was another attack. "Stop!" I bellowed, allowing time to snap back to its normal progression. There was a strange quiet across the field as our onlookers tried to understand what was happening. I paused to catch my breath from the sudden exertion as Tyndall joined me.
"Nice spell, master," he said, his chest heaving. "Nice swordplay, apprentice,"
I replied. "Watch them. If anyone tries to cast a spell, make them stop." He nodded understandingly and turned to face the dangling censers. None of the war magi looked particularly happy about their sudden ascension, but they hadn't tried to break the spell yet either. I pointed with my fingers and directed the levitating men to congregate in front of me, at least 10 feet apart. By that point, they had mostly stopped flailing around and were instead fearfully waiting what I would do next. For that matter, so was I. It was a difficult situation. It was even more difficult, I realized, than I thought it was, once the implications of the attack settled in. You see, there wasn't really anything I could do to them. It wasn't as if I could turn them over to the local lord for disposition, as they were technically above the laws of even the dukes. But I couldn't just execute them either, even if I'd had the inclination. I had no authority at the fair. I was a guest. So were they. We'd sworn an oath pledging the peace for the event. "Your names?" I asked curtly, when the flying censers had been gathered together. "Let's just start with you, Commander," I said, indicating the man who had been bearing the staff. "I am Commander Dalrent of the Central Castali Commandery of the Royal Censorate of Magic. You are a violator of the lawful bans, Minnalanda Spellmonger, and this bit of sorcery won't save you."
"It's working so far," I pointed out. "They only sent 5 of you. It was all that could be gathered when word of..."
"When we departed," answered one of the other men sullenly, "most of our brothers are scouring the lands searching for you." "I'm honored," I snorted. "You could have just asked the Duke, you know. I've been living in the same place for almost a year now." That earned me a dirty look. The censorate wasn't on good terms with Duke Rad at the moment, largely because of me. "Still, now that you're here, I'm curious. Why attack me at the fair?"
"We do not need to answer your questions, abomination!"
One of the younger men, about my age, spat at me. He would have had a more dramatic presentation if he didn't have urine and feces running down his leg. "I love that spell."
"You don't need to breathe, either," I observed. "Keep speaking to me disrespectfully and I'll see what I can arrange. And that's Lord Abomination to you. I've been knighted."
"Against the bans," another censor said, outraged. "The bans are suspended in Castol and Alsha,"
Tyndall informed them darkly.
"Perhaps you have not heard the news, but there is a war going on right now to stop an invasion."
"A goblin uprising is no excuse to overturn 400 years of law,"
bellowed the largest of them, the brute Tyndall had been dueling.
"It's not an uprising, it's an invasion," Tyndall shouted back.
"Legions of them pouring over the Mindens like ants over honeycomb, and the dead god..."
"Dear Ishi, save us from the dead god.
If Master Minnalan hadn't been there, you'd be fleeing for your lives right now."
"That is still no excuse," the leader hissed, looking at me balefully.
He wasn't an attractive man, and he had misplaced the lower half of his left ear someplace. I suppressed a desire to burn him to death where he hung in the sky.
The Duke rules in Castor, not the Censorate, Bannermore said, dusting off his robe indignantly. And the Duke has relaxed the bans.
No Duke has sovereignty over the Censorate, the big man boasted with a snort. We are the King's men.
A dead king who cannot answer for you, I observed. Nor can he save you now. Duke Rard is not going to be pleased at this attack. Nor is his new court mage, Master Hartarian. That produced an audible gasp from them, and that was gratifying. Hartarian was their old boss, the head of their order, and I had bought him off like a roadside bandit. Well, it hadn't quite been that easy, but the allure of Irianite is powerful for any mage, especially one of Hartarian's abilities.
That's right, I nodded. Your former master and current foe will now sit in judgment of you.
We do not answer to any court, mage, sneered the half-eared man. We are the king's men. The law says we are inviolate.
That wasn't technically true, even in the best of times. There had been several cases where the order had been co-opted by various dukes, or had itself been used as a tool against them over the centuries. The censorate was as independent as it could be legally, but it didn't operate in a vacuum.
So who will you complain to if the law is broken? I asked. Who is responsible for upholding the law and seeing to its accountability?
There was an uncomfortable silence.
The dukes, the half-eared man said sullenly.
That's right. The dukes, I lectured, smacking the war wand in the palm of my hand and pacing in front of them.
The fact is that the censorate is only a few hundred war magi spread out over thousands of domains. That's fine for hunting witches or rousting foot wizards. But if the censorate really needs help, where does it turn? The duchies, the dukes, and their court magi.
Only you're in Castile right now, and the Duke here has decided he's not going to help you anymore. Within a few moons, the Duke of Rhymer will also relax the bans there. So that leaves you, well, a few thousand miles away from the nearest duke who might lend a hand.
We have more resources than you know, the leader said evenly. He did not seem terribly concerned about his position.
And we are fighting a war we cannot lose, and we will lose it if you fanatics have your way. As far as I'm concerned, you just committed treason against humanity, not to mention ruining my day at the fair. For that alone I should roast you. But then you went and started a magical battle in the middle of a crowd, which is just unprofessional. So I think I'll turn you over to Master Hartarian. He'll know what to do with you.
They looked more angry than afraid. Their leader shook his head, sneering at my proposal.
General Hartarian, Master Hartarian, will not punish us for pursuing our lawful duty. He is a fair and just man. He trained me in tracking, and a more honourable censor I have never met.
I think he'll imprison you at the very least, probably in the same cells you kept some of your prisoners, and perhaps as long. I wouldn't count on a lot of loyalty from your former commander either. He made it quite clear what his decision was in regards to the duchies. He's directed all those who disagree to go east, so you should be on the other side of Rhymer's border, not this side of Castile's. That you are not is all the proof Hartarian needs to justify your sentence.
I don't think that will be necessary, the leader said slowly.
I thought maybe he was coming around. I should have known better. You only get to become a censor in the first place, if you're already half a fanatic.
The moment we are down, we will be gutting you.
That's not the wisest thing to say to the man who holds your body prisoner, chuckled Tyndall.
Nor the most convincing.
Nor do I think it is within your right to do so, a new voice said from behind me.
I half turned to see who it was, prepared to use my wand again. But the old knight who approached us was not brandishing a sword, although his frown was sharp enough to cut bread. He was a short man, a little fleshy, with rich living. His curly grey hair complemented his beard, which was still dark, but losing that battle. He had the look of keen wit in his eye, and he moved as gracefully as a man could who was wearing a chainmail gambeson and dragging a long sword around with him on his hip. Chainmail, on a warm day like today.
"And who are you, Sir Knight, to dictate the law to me?"
the censor asked, haughtily. The old man's grey eyes narrowed sharply.
"I, my dear censor, am by the grace of Lewin the Lawgiver, Baron Erathaniel of Sandaria, House Lensley, and this is my fair. You gentlemen are fucking up! Now, will someone please do whatever it is they need to do so that their feet are on the ground?" he asked. "Then let's repair to my tent, where I can tell you exactly how I feel about idiots who brawl at my fair, no matter what colour their cloak. Guards!